Joining us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, longtime shoe exec for Nike, for Adidas, also Reebok, and really the guy who put the hype into the game of basketball, Sonny Vaquero joins us. Sonny, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Is your sponsor Vaquero, is that V-A-Q or V-A-C-C-A-R-O?
It's a Mexican restaurant. It's V-A-Q, but it's fitting that we're speaking with you, but considering the sponsorship. I didn't even put that together. Thank you for noticing that.
Yes. That's Hispanic for bandit, I believe. Am I right?
You're right about that, Sonny.
Now, is your spelling, are you a bandit too, Sonny? Is your spelling that way too?
Wow. Maybe the same way the Hispanics were a long time ago, and all of us were a long time ago. In a way, we were all bandits because we were going somewhere different, and sometimes we were the door was closed, and so we had to get around it another way. So I understand that term a long time, and yes, so I guess I am, but there's nothing wrong with being that. We're good. We're Robin Hood. Let's make ourselves Robin Hood.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of bandits, it feels like the jig is close to up for the NCAA right now. I wanted to start out by asking if you've been able to read the most recent addition to this FBI investigation into college hoops that broke this morning, naming more specific names, and if so, what your initial reactions were to that.
That was on Pete and Pat 40, right, Pete Thamel?
Correct.
Yes, I've read those, and I've read everything else, and, of course, conversed with a lot of people. Well, they're both very good reporters, and thank God we have a free press in this country yet, because a lot of us wouldn't have known, and most certainly the NCAA would have known of those facts. It did not surprise me. I didn't have privy to any of that. I didn't know it was happening myself. It did not surprise me. The only thing that we have different here is the government's in there, and they were able to, you know, impound the emails and everything, and that's why there's a problem today. If it was just conversation, which may or may not could have existed in years gone by, we wouldn't be talking about this. But it didn't shock me, and it's interesting to how it's going to play out.
Now, you are someone who, and this has been chronicled plenty of other places, 30 for 30 and plenty of other outlets, that was really responsible for getting shoe companies into college basketball. You gave the idea to Nike, look, you pay these coaches, you give them shoes for their players, and they represent your brand. They did that. But at some point, that whole process jumped the shark. What was it that caused that process to go so sideways and become as corrupt as it has over the years?
Well, if you go back to the first statement you made, and I did start it, and Nike did start it, and it was an ingenious marketing plan. But what no one wants to connect the dots to is when I said it to Phil Knight and Rob Strasser in the 70s, I said, pay the college coaches directly, give the shoes free to the universities to give to the athletes, and that's what we did. Remember now, pay the college coaches directly. So for the first few years, Sonny Vaquero gave college coaches sometimes his own checks, and the money was wired back to me by Nike to the end. So that's the key, paid to coaches directly. The sins of college basketball rely and lie solely on the people who run, not college basketball, amateur sports, and that's basically the NCAA. Because what you saw from the transformation of what I did, no one from higher up than a coach stepped in and said, don't do this, Mr. Nike. I mean, actually, you know, Phil Knight's one of the most powerful people in the world, and he's in the Hall of Fame and all that sort of stuff. So it's a very interesting curmudgeon here that we're looking at. No one stopped us. In fact, the people listening to this show, no one starts thinking about how much money was invented until Walter Byers had the great idea of, you know, putting on these new rules, and every president of the NCAA after that imposed their own power and took everything away from the athlete. So by doing that in the all-school deal with Miami in 1988, where the universities directly had a part in, because when they signed an all-school deal, which I did the first one with the University of Miami and Sam Jankovic, the president and the athletic director, everyone signed off. To get to your problem, I don't want to waste your time. To get to your problem, what's happened is the NCAA has now become a partner to all the, let's just stay on Louisville. The NCAA, you know, has no idea what's happening, and they are not involved because by the very words of Mark Emmert, and I don't know what his job is, because his only job he has is listening to the presidents of the universities, give their okay for their universities to sign shoe contracts and Coca-Cola contracts and every other contract in the world, that televise or give or monetize the athlete, and never a step was ever taken for the athlete. Okay, why the problem? Well, this is a deep problem because you have a conspiracy, I imagine. I don't think it should be as big as what the government has done, but we'll see where the ball takes it. Well, you had a shoe company and a university, and the president of the university and the shoe company basically signed an agreement to better themselves. The shoe company did exactly what I thought would happen in 77. They made a deal. I made a deal with the coaches. They made a deal with the universities so the public could see their shoes, could watch them drink the pop and all that sort of stuff, right? And they make money. Well, the only way they make money, if the university that they're giving all this money to, in this case Louisville, they're giving all this money to, gets good athletes to wear for the football and basketball teams. So when Louisville signed a contract to accept the money, that's what they did. And they hired the coaches, and the coaches hired the assistant coaches. What you saw was a legal contract between two people, the company and the university. What made it illegal, interesting to me, is the athlete that took money from a agent, I imagine that's what it was, and they showed that in the paper, some obscene small money, and that caused the whole world to tumble. But no one's given me the answer is what the hell was the NCAA doing when all this was happening. They legally said that. The only thing illegal in this is, I guess, they transferred money on the wires because it was a public institution, which signed a deal with the corporate America to give the money, in this case, to Rick Pitino and the guy who was the AD, about 90% of the millions and millions of dollars, to what? Enhance their basketball team. So I think the culprit is and always will be the NCAA for not stepping in and understanding the plight of the athlete. The lowest man on this totem pole was a kid Bowen and his family, whether they took $1, $1,000, or $100,000. I don't give a darn, okay? The only thing I know, the whole line of money transferring came from people to either sell shoes, incorporate money, sell more tickets, be on television more, get more good players, coaches to get a raise, agents to get a piece of the cut, financial guys to get a piece of the cut, or the only guy that wasn't making money, and that was the kid.
Look, you and I and my co-host, we all think the system is BS in terms of what it doesn't do for the student-athlete, most of whom are responsible for this billions-dollar-a-year business, but they still find ways to get money. These examples that we're seeing to get today, it's not like this whole process started in the last 5 years. Plenty of other people who have access to this money realize as much and want to try and hook these kids up. At what point do you think kids were starting to get paid to go to certain schools?
I don't understand. I can't tell you what point. I mean, that's a, you know, because the obvious question and the answer would be to your public and to what you think may or may not be happening is, the only ones that are probably obvious are the ones that can lead teams to championships, to play in that football playoff thing, to play in the NCAA tournament, because that's who's the valuable player. That's who ESPN and CBS and NBC and ABC, they all talk about the latest phenom. We're talking about the latest phenom ever since I started, when I was 24 years old, All-Star Games, okay?
Yep.
The phenom is the player. The phenom is not the school. The phenom's not the athletic director, and the phenom's not the but the point here is, when you start asking that question, you automatically assume that everything is illicit in this whole thing, and you go back to who the kid is. I'm not here to defend, I don't know this young man, I'm here to defend the integrity of the individuals that get brought into it. If, in fact, there is money transferring because of the shoe company sponsoring him, well, the school did that, and then the recruiters told the kids, this is what you're going to do, and you're going to become a Nike kid, an Adidas kid. Or however you frame it, however you do, the only thing I ask for you and your audience to understand, this isn't a virgin. Because prior to this, and I've researched it, and you could do it, and anybody could do it, there has been problems in the NCAA with cheating and scandals. Everyone thought the SMU thing was done. Well, we've had more egregious things in SMU. We've had murders on campuses at Baylor. We had, you know, academic fraud in, you know, North Carolina. We have kids on probation every day that may or may not have gotten something. Why don't we ask the question, what is the function of the NCAA? I'm not dodging, and I know what your question to me is. I'm not evading it. I'm just telling you is you're looking in the wrong thing. It all starts from the athlete. If the athlete was allowed to be supported and run away from this stupid word called amateurism and put some money for him in escrow, if they recruit you, they don't recruit you to come in and win a Rhodes Scholarship. The NCAA says National Collegiate Athletic Association. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Where is it? The National Collegiate Academic Association. Let me just step back.
I'm not sure what they are. I tend to agree with you, and I want to get back to the NC2A in a second, Sonny. But before that, I want to ask: is part of this, do you think? I mean, the rise of popularity of AAU basketball. I mean, these kids are looked at by shoe companies, but also by colleges from a very, very young age. And now there's AAU coaches who are kind of shady and might be taking some sort of money and giving money to the kids. I mean, do you think that has contributed to this culture that we're facing right now, this problem that we're facing at the college level?
Youngster, I want to tell you something, okay?
Yes, sir.
I understand where you're going, okay? And my point is, why, in order for that AAU coach to get money to put in his pocket or to give money to the public, you're missing the point here. The point is they wouldn't have been offered or given that money unless some college coach did it. Some college was part of this. Why is it the kid could never be bribed unless the briber got him the money? The only person who will bribe him and give him money is who? The coach that gets him to win games for him so he gets a raise so he can leave the school and go somewhere else next year. I understand what you're saying, and it ends up with the kid receiving the money via various ways, I imagine, okay? And it could be the coach, but it also could be before AAU was invented. Were they without sin? Were they the virgins? The NCAA. Where were scandals? Were they virgins in the 50s when Kentucky cheated? The great Kentucky, they all threw games. They were throwing games. My point to you is the NCAA has been embroiled in scandals since its inception. We stop at, was there money passed to an unscrupulous AAU person? Let me tell you, there are thousands of AAU coaches and thousands of people across America and thousands of kids who play summer basketball. We are looking at three, four, or five individual, and it's always, and it seems to be always the same schools, the same whatever involved. I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing, but the priority of switching of money goes to the people who can help them win basketball and football games, and they're the last man. Please understand, the money can only come from the person that needs you. What is the use of bribing somebody or giving him money if he's not going to go to your school?
Right. Hey, I agree. I was just asking if you thought the rise in AAU popularity was perpetuating and causing this to happen more. But I'm with you 100%. This has been going on.
Trey, I respect that. And I think most of the public understand. Let me just leave it here. You realize the term AAU has been a term used for 10,000 years, and it was also used to sponsor our Olympic teams, AAU team instead of an Olympic team and all that sort of stuff. AAU goes back. AAU, by its pure nature, is pure and innocent. Well, I don't know what that means or doesn't mean. But the only reason that even exists is because, I guess, that the name, and I accept whatever. People have different opinions than me. The godfather of grassroots basketball, Sonny Vaccaro. Well, you know what? Nothing changed until the day I left Nike and went to Adidas. And I was in competition with myself. Then the word AAU basketball and summer basketball, because I did. I went to Las Vegas and started the biggest, tournament. It was called the Big Time Tournament. There's 500 teams. Today there's 10,000 kids going to 20,000 kids going in summertime to Las Vegas. The game, in fact, I guess this tape was made in Las Vegas a couple years ago. The game was in trouble before there was AAU basketball. I'm trying to tell you that everybody forgets there were people who were running AAU teams or summer basketball teams in the 70s and 80s when I was first coming up through the grapevine. For your audience, when I started my thing when I was 24 years old and started the Dapper Dam, I used to go to inner city places and look for kids to play in my round ball classic. I didn't fly around the country. I was a kid myself. I didn't have $5. Mm-hmm. And I'd go to the Osnam League. I'd go to St. Cecilia's in Detroit. I'd go to the Dust Bowl. I'd go to the Hill League. That's basically where basketball started. Were there scandals in those years? I think so. I'm saying to you, scandal and athletics, amateur athletics, seem to go hand in hand. Passing the money. Some of these schools, that have been on probation 25 times. You know, it's interesting to me. They just keep going on probation, pay a penalty, and they move. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in Louisville, but I do know what's happened in the past, and I do know what's happened, could happen in the future. There's too much money and too many people involved without the athlete sharing it.
So that's to you, that's the easiest solution, right? If the NCAA or some organization that takes over for the NCAA starts paying the athletes either for image or likeness or just paying them in general, do you think this stuff all goes away?
I think it would help. Nothing will go away. There's going to be a scoundrel everywhere, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you know, there's a Judas at every table. Let's understand that, okay? That's what happens. No one, but I'm okay with whatever mankind wants to do, and I'm not going to get religious on it. But I'm saying to you, young fella, the NCAA in its current structure, for the president of the NCAA to keep telling the world that all they are is the facilitator at the behest of the president, okay? Almost sounds like a political statement, right? At the behest of the president. They have no power to do anything. They can't subpoena you. They can't do anything. But yet they instigate penalties. They are the enforcer. They investigate. And then what do? They take the money. How can you be the investigator? How can you impose the penalty? And how can you take the money? You cannot be the same outfit. They cannot be the investigatory place. It's impossible. You can't be, except we should have things in government. This is all close relation to the way the America is run, okay? But then we have a person at the top. Person at the top has almost immunity to everything that happens. This could be an answer. I'm not picking on the current president. I'm giving you an analogy. How can the NCAA be an unbiased participant in the regulation of college athletics when they do the penalties, when we know by my own life, because I've lived too long and I've been working against trying to understand these people since Byers. I'm probably the only person active that was under every goddarn, you know, NCAA president. They just keep rolling on. Yeah. It's amazing. They pay each other. Don't you know that they pay each other? The guy gets $2 million to do what? The guy running the tournament gets $750,000. And more so, the guys running bowl games get paid money to run bowl games. The money doesn't even go back to the schools. I mean, it's nonsense. Everybody gets a cut. And then the television people and the people analytical, I'm all for that. It promotes the game. The tournament is one of the best things that ever happened. The football thing's still a little bit screwed up. It's wonderful. The public wants and needs this. Sports are intricate to our society. I'm not against what's happening. I'm not against having a governing body. I'm against people running this, the sharing the money and impose the penalties without any freedom to the athlete. That's who I'm against.
And, Sonny, a perfect example of how broken the system is something that has to do with the conversation we just had with Ed O'Bannon within the last week, and that related to his lawsuit, O'Bannon versus the NCAA, which you helped spearhead. You got Ed O'Bannon to be part of that lawsuit, and the perfect example of how broken the system is and where it's the most corrupt is that EA Sports, after the lawsuit, said, look, we have no problem paying these guys to use their likeness, but the NCAA and the heads of universities were the ones that that hedged, that said that, no, we're not okay with that. So that just shows you who is trying to keep a hold of the money versus actually having to disperse it a little bit more evenly amongst its student athletes.
And I think in Eddie's book, and people should read it, in the sense that there's one thing in there that's so obvious, okay? When they found out, and it was really Chris Webber and myself. We were on a panel with Ted Koppel in the 90s, and Chris Webber was on this panel and very innocently said, why should my parents have to go buy my jersey for $150? I never forgot that, and that led me and ESPN, when they acquired the Classic Sports Network from Greenberg and Modell and all these guys that put together this brilliant plan of getting all the films of all the sports and then sell them to ESPN. That's what ESPN Classic is. And I knew those people. They came to me and they wanted my All-Star games. It's a business deal. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'd watch these kids. You see Southern Cal and UCLA. You see Duke and North Carolina every year. Monetizing. They were sold for $117 million in 1966, I believe. 1996. And when Chris made that statement, that light bulb went off. I was pro talking about it. But this was the most obvious thing, young fella. How in the world can the NCAA ask the athletes as they're matriculating at their schools that they have to sign the rights to their name, image, and likeness over to that university for perpetuity, forever? My God, that's insane. That is insane. How do they own me forever? I played for you for 4 years. I certainly should have the right to share in the finances of you using my picture or showing my film with my teammates or putting me on a game. But the greed of the NCAA is only magnified by the greed of the NCAA. They are greedier every day. But they hide under amateur, and then they'll try and make me or you or this kid look like a fool by throwing some obscene thing. They're actually comparing amateurism and not paying the kids to a law case that involved prisoners in prison, want to be paid for labor. I mean, they equated that. I mean, the public should – they don't care what – if these kids were able to get their money, which it's all they should get it. I mean, for name, image, and likeness, it's a no-brainer. The public only wants to see competition. They really don't care because they keep going back to suspended schools. They keep supporting guys who are on probation. They keep – you know, some coaches have been on probation or in Hall of Fame. I mean, I don't understand all these things, okay? But that's fine. If you accept it, fine. But the basic tenet of the whole argument are the athletes. There's no coaches. There's no guys in Hall of Fames. I mean, I'm just telling you, the NCAA, by the very nature of legislation, they appoint themselves, they hire themselves, and they pay themselves over the blood and sweat of the athletes and the women athletes. And now we're into whole things what's happening here. I mean, you know, they didn't even know what was happening with the guy Nassar. I mean, they don't understand what happened in North Carolina with an academic fraud. And, you know, they have rules to protect everybody, but they don't have rules to allow this money to be distributed. And they should. The biggest rule is they can't be their own internal investigative form. They can't be. It's impossible.
Sonny Vaccaro joining us right now for just a couple more minutes here to talk about the landscape of college sports and the NCAA. Sonny, I have to ask you your opinion of this because you're critical enough that I know that critical thinkers also come up with solutions. What is the best way to go about paying college athletes? Is it giving them a certain stipend like what the courts ruled on, $5,000 a year, maybe a little bit more of that, and holding other money off until their eligibility is over with? Or what would you do differently in order to compensate college athletes?
Well, the stipend would not have been a bad start, but they included that with the cost of attendance, which most of the schools were doing, not all of them anyway. Basically, the most honest thing to do here, if you're a monetized team, and I'm talking mostly about the Power Five conferences, okay, an athlete that plays on any game that has been televised, sold, advertised, you know, if you're using the equipment of a certain company, or you're drinking the drink, they should get an agreed-upon number, 5%, 2%, 1%, 0.5% of all the monies that are that team and those individuals. I always say team. I never say an individual. There's one individual thing that I'll put in at the end of my statement here. Then if they go 1 year, they get 25% of whatever it was that, you know, they get 1 year. They get 2 years, 50%. But this is all put in escrow. And it's nothing more than a recording guy or a book writer who gets a recording or movies or commercials. They're incentivized by their residuals. All I'm asking you is to give them the money, and I went as far, way back in the 90s, I said, give it to them when either they leave your school or they graduate. I never said this was a pay-for-play on the field. They invented that to make the public think that's like build the wall. There ain't gonna be no wall, but build the wall, and everybody's excited. Don't pay the athletes. Everybody's excited. I didn't say that. Give them the money when they leave your school. But you put it in escrow for them. Now these kids leave school. They're not all great athletes. They're not all going to sign the NFL and the NBA. So if a kid graduates, you give him a head start. You give him $50,000. You give him $100,000. I don't know what it is, but there's a number out there. That's what you do. And that's an encouragement for all the kids when they go on to that silly advertisement. You know, we're the NCAA, and I don't play, you know, pro sports, and I don't. And I'm Jimmy Jones. I'm Kathy Winslow. I don't play. Well, you know what? The kids who paid for their scholarships, the ones that they advertise on that silly commercial, and I'm not demeaning the kids, I'm demeaning the NCAA, think they should make an impact, and they did on public. if it wasn't for the basketball and the football players, they wouldn't be there on scholarship. Does anybody understand this? That's why they got a scholarship. The money that the NCAA tournament brought in.
Yep.
It's inconsistent with life.
Totally agreed, Sonny. And I have to ask you about this as well, because the sport of basketball is at a crossroads right now between this FBI investigation, the way the NBA is operating. Look, as much as we don't want to admit it, one and done, while it was an attempt to help out college basketball and the sport itself, seems to have gone the different direction. What would you do differently to the one and done rule? Would you require guys who decide to go to college stick around for more than a year if they do so? What would you do differently in terms of NBA eligibility?
Here's what I've always asked, and I remember talking to David Stern before, because I never ever talked to the NCAA. They've only talked to me twice in their life. Can you believe that? That's like a stupid thing.
Wow.
Right? Think of it, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I said to Stern when he was running it, and then he did mention it to, I guess, Miles Brand, whoever was on duty then. I said this: a kid should be allowed to apply for the draft out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants, then if he is that, you know, that different guy like LeBron or Kobe and those kids, then he makes a living. But the obscene rule is, but he needs legal representation. Tell him, okay, I need someone to represent me. So you hire somebody. Now that kid's not going to get drafted, okay? Then he should be able to go through the draft, not get drafted, or say I'm not going to go. Now put the onus on the pro team. Don't draft me if you think I'm not coming. But that won't happen because they're pretty sure, at least the first round, okay? They know who these kids are.
Mm-hmm.
But let them go back to college. Now you go back to college. Rewrite your scholarship. You're signing a college scholarship for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years. If you don't do it, you're subject to penalty for the rest of your tuition if you turn pro. Use words like that. But they should be allowed to come back to college. That's the whole thing. What the hell's wrong? Just let him come back. But it goes against the word amateurism. See, that's the flaw in the ointment. It shouldn't be. It demeans the individual, and it shows you no patience with allowing this kid to right or wrong if he made a mistake in going pro. Now, as far as the NBA teams go, let me tell you something. I've been involved since day one with Kevin Garnett, okay? Day one, 92, 93, whenever Kevin went up. Okay? The point there is, if you go in the first round, you're guaranteed at least $10 million. Go figure out from 1 to 30. See what the hell they get for their contract. It's a lot of money. Well, dang, these kids may not make that much money their whole lives. They should have the right to see if their value. And your value should be in your ability to perform the job you're being hired for. That is to play basketball. Let them come back to college, but they can't do it. The NCAA is the most, they're just greedy. You would think instead of going through and paying millions of dollars in O'Bannon and the Kessler case and the White case, all these money, millions of dollars, you just would have thought they all would have got together and said, let's put something aside. Let's go on with life. Let the kids in one and done. If they don't get, let them come back to school. Let them stay 2-3 years. I'm not opposed to whatever they do with their lives. I'm opposed to not allowing them a chance to go to work because they're only 17 or 18 years old. The best players in the world never had a college coach, just so you understand that. The best players. And one of the two best, when it's all done, because it could probably be Michael and LeBron, one went, one didn't. But one didn't go all the way through, even though he went back and got one of those certificates after you go back and graduate. But my point was, he did leave early, Michael. But LeBron and Kobe and Tracy and Kevin, my God almighty, even Moses didn't go pro. He went to the ABA. There was an alternative then.
Yeah. One word answer for you, Sonny, because we're up against it. If you could start your professional franchise with one guy, who would it be, Michael or LeBron? Because you're responsible for both.
I would answer that question, but you got to allow me one thing.
Okay.
Am I allowed to put what you've done on and off the court as an equation to separate the two?
That's an interesting part of the equation. Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to say LeBron James, because LeBron James is doing more in his lifetime than any of the other than the athletes who stood up and didn't go to college, like John Carlos and Tommy Smith and Muhammad and all the great athletes who stood up and were penalized for what they did. You cannot. But the equation is different today. I just think LeBron James is going to be one of the great athletes who's going to do things for society. And he's only 30-some years old. He's done wonderful things already. And Michael, it was a different world, but he never stood up and was counted. That doesn't make him bad. I'm not just not throwing shingles on Michael. There was a different time, different era. But so if you ask me now to pick my team, I'm going to go LeBron because it's more important to do more with what your fame is than just allow your fame to be who you are.
Wow, Sonny, yeah. we could have a conversation for hours, and we haven't even really scratched the surface of some of the really cool things that you've done in your life. Thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it. I spoke with Ed O'Bannon off the air yesterday, and he had nothing but great things to say about you and your wife, Pam. So thank you so much for the time. Hopefully this isn't the last time you join the show. Just know that we're on your side of this whole fight, because college athletes need to be compensated better versus where they are right now, and it's guys like you and Ed O'Bannon who are helping that happen. So thank you so much for the time.
And a lot more. I mean, a lot of other kids have gone there, and I thank you for those words, and I thank Eddie for a great friendship all these years. Could somebody send me the transcript or the show?
I'll be happy to send you an MP3. Why don't you just text me the email address that you want me to send it to, and I'll send you a link. We're going to isolate this interview from the rest of the hour. I'll send you a link to that, and you can actually download it to your computer from there.
Right. Okay. And please don't forget the number. Call me.
Great.
I'm talking.
We'd love to, Sonny. Hey, thank you. This was a blast. We really appreciate the time, sir.
All right. God bless you.
All right. You too.
Take care, Sonny.